Take our Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We did have an absolutely wonderful time. And I told Brother Don, I said, not that we were spoiled, I said, but comfortable. On the trip, they upgraded our rental car from a little smaller SUV that we were going to have, like a little Chevy Equinox or something. And she said, I upgraded you, and it was a 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and completely decked out, leather, navigation, I mean, just rode great. And so absolutely wonderful time. And so when I took the got down there and took the girls out to supper at Pensacola, they're like, oh, this is nice, as we're riding around. And but praise the Lord for it. It is good to be back home. And so thankful, just everything just clicked along well. Has anybody here ever had a, they call it a char dog from Chicago? Have you had one? I saw that in the airport, and I said, I'm going for it. Exactly how it's pictured, and no ketchup on it, and has what they call some sport peppers on it, and some Chicago relish, and a full dill spear, and yes, celery salt on it, just how it was. And would you believe it, I walked into prison yesterday, and there were two men sitting on the bunk, and asked them if I could sit down and talk to them, have a wonderful time, open the scriptures. And I said, where are you from? And he says, well, I'm originally from up in Chicago. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I'll be flying back through there tomorrow. He said, eat a hot dog for me. And I said, believe it or not, the first man that I'm sitting there talking to, he said, eat a hot dog for me. And he went in and described that thing perfectly all the way down through there. I said, I'm going to do exactly that. And so I thought that was neat. But that knit our hearts together to be able to witness to him, just make sure he had a walk with God. But wonderful. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look what the Bible says in verse number 14. Says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. As I was preparing towards this evening, there were several things that were on my heart to be able to come in and just try to encourage us with this evening. But I continually came back to the subject matter, and I know I've probably spoken a lot of it. I don't think we can exhaust the subject. The subject matter on the importance of the Word of God, the importance of the Bible. And we read down through here, and really the phrase that was really jumping off the page to me as I was meditating on this scripture, actually is while I was driving over the past couple days, where it says in verse number 15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And then I also went back and looked at the scripture where it says to search the scripture and examine whether ye be in the faith. And I've heard testimony after testimony lately, and maybe here's what spurred me to be meditating upon this. And I just heard another testimony in the past couple days of some that were raised in church and had their prayer or had their repeat after me, quote-unquote, salvation time. But yet going back and looking at the, what really got me going is in Colossians, and we'll look at that over the next couple of weeks, where it says the fruit of the gospel being revealed in their life. And the Bible says here, the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy, he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, I don't know the testimony of everyone that is seated here, but I do know for most that statement would be true, that for maybe not from a child, but maybe for several years now, people have known the Holy Scriptures, And the one thing that the Apostle Paul comes back to and says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And I went back, and actually last night when I was preaching in Montgomery at the prison there, I was preaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I preached this a few months ago, several months ago here at the church. But I'll remind us of what the scriptures say here. And says in 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And twice that prepositional phrase is made in there, that the gospel which is delivered and given unto us definitely has its foundation and has its base and has its beginning point in the scriptures. The term scripture or scriptures is actually mentioned as you read throughout the Bible. It's mentioned in over 53 verses, one time in the Old Testament. The two books that the word is mentioned the most, and I thought it was very fitting that it's mentioned the most in the book of Romans. I believe it's mentioned 12 times, 12 verses as you read down through the book of Romans, but then the second most that it's mentioned is in the book of John. And I said, "What? How wonderful that is, that the two books we try to be able to get into someone's hand at the moment of salvation, if we can just get them a couple books, would be John and Romans. And to be able to get them reading, it's the two books that reinforce the authority of the scriptures in our lives. Now, I want to remind us tonight and encourage us that the salvation that we hold to today is grounded in none other place than the scriptures that we hold in our hands. And I'm so thankful that they are able to make thee wise, and I'm thankful that we can apply the scriptures to our heart and lives. Listen, everything that we know about heaven, where do we find it out? We find it out in the scriptures. Everything we know about God, where do we find it out? We find it out in the scriptures. Everything about how to live our Christian life and the assurance that we have, we find it in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy here. He says, I want you to be assured of those things. I want you to continue in them, and you can be assured, first of all, of who you learned them from. I'm sure Timothy was thankful that he had a man of God that was a mentor, that discipled him, that grounded him to listen to obey, to practice, and to continue in what the Word of God says. And then he says, because they're able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, may I also add that if the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation, that if someone does not have salvation from the scriptures, then what would they be? It'd be foolish, wouldn't they? I don't understand. We sit down and we start talking to some people, and it's amazing how they go off into things that are unknown, and they have every explanation whatsoever to be able to go back to. But I'm thinking, but where in the world is that in the Bible? I wouldn't want to have to judge and put my assurance in something for all of eternity just based upon my experience or maybe what somebody else said. Has anybody ever changed their opinion about something as they went through life? How many of you, now listen to me, you think it's an accident and I just get up and start spouting off when I start giving illustrations. How many automatically formed an opinion about that hot dog I mentioned out in Chicago? Some people already formulated. How many had a negative opinion of that hot dog that I just described? That's the exact thing that my wife had. I snapped her a picture of it and I sent it to her. She said, I'll just take your word for it. But I said, if you just take a bite and experience it. Now, see, sometimes opinions can change as we're going throughout life. And I'm so thankful that my salvation is not based upon what the opinion of one person is at one point in their life. Because what if before they die, what if their opinion changes? What if their experience changes? And I want to read over here, and we're going to get ready to go into prayer meeting here in just a little bit. But in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and I've made reference to these verses when I made reference and preaching on walking in the light just a week and a half ago. But he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." I believe that the Apostle Peter is trying to get across the exact same message that the Apostle Paul is trying to get to young Timothy on: continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And now Peter is saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. So let me ask you something. If someone does not take heed, do they do well? I know it's complicated, and I know you say you're reading the King James Bible tonight. I can't understand that. That's just way over my head. You do well if you take heed. You pay attention. Take heed to it. You do well. So if you don't take heed, you're not doing well. "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now, I want you to see the principle that is taking place in verse number 19. He's saying ye do well if you take heed. Then it starts talking about a light shining in a dark place. You ever wonder what dark place he was talking about? I've heard about it preached, that it's the dark place in the world, and that's wonderful. I believe that we need to get out there and proclaim the Word of God. One man preached yesterday morning down there about the sword that we carry, and he said, listen, he said, it's not just enough to carry your sword, but it needs to be opened up, and it needs to be proclaimed. That's what's going to make a difference. I understand that we're the light of the world, and this gospel, it can shine out there in this world. But the very next statement, I believe, gives illumination to where a dark place is that he's talking about: until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And as I look down through that passage of Scripture, I believe we need to understand that there is almost no darker place than the human heart. Even Jeremiah said that the heart is desperately wicked. And we say today, I'm following my heart. Well, why would we do that? Why not follow the Word of God? Because it is the Word of God that needs to shine the light into the deepest, darkest crevices of our heart. And may I say this, and it's been revealed in the past week, how wicked some hearts are that will sit in service week after week after week. And I've thought, it's not because they're not in church. Listen, it's not being in church that's going to shine down into the heart, is it? Can I say, it's not even being close to your family. It's not even being close to the pastor. It's not saying, hey, and I understand I got two brothers sitting on the front. It's not even saying, and this isn't in relation to this, it's not even saying, but I sit on the front row of the church. And I say it doesn't matter where we sit. Doesn't matter how faithful we are in the house of God. But if we're not in the Word of God, and we're not allowing the precious light of the Scriptures to be able to shine in our hearts, can I say the Lord's even shined it into my heart throughout this week as day after day after day? I called Brother Jordan. I think I made 3 or 4 phone calls coming up the road as I had 3 hours to drive from Pensacola to Montgomery. And he said, here, I thought I was just going to have a nice, quiet, relaxing evening at the house. And we start talking. I said, boy, I just want to tell you some of these things and principles, I said, that I've been looking at, that has been preached to me or has been taught to me just in the past week. And I said, some of the things that I'm looking at. Then I was back early this morning, back into the book of Proverbs, and I was reading again. And I'm saying, listen, there's so many things. If we just allow the Word of God to be able to be the spotlight. And so here's the challenge that God put upon my heart. Is what aspect of our lives right now, deepest, darkest crevice of our hearts, what aspect of our lives is not in subjection or following the Word of God? Now, sometimes we know those areas, and that's why we don't read the Scriptures on those areas. See, that's where a systematic reading of Scripture comes in handy. How many have ever gotten lazy in their Bible reading and you just say, well, I'm just going to see where the Lord leads me from day to day? Isn't it amazing He never leads us to the tough passages that just skin us up one side and down the other? I mean, we always go back to our favorite passages, and we always start digging in there. I circled the phrase, and I mentioned it to Brother Jordan, and we may in the next couple weeks on Thursday night. God's been bringing me a lot back to the book of Colossians. And I circled this phrase, and it wouldn't be next week, because there's 5 verses in front of it. But speaking of the gospel in Colossians 1, And here's the area that God began examining my life and just shining that light a little bit deeper over the past few days in Colossians 1, verse number 6. He mentions the word gospel in verse number 5, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. And I wrote beside it, the fruit of the gospel revealed in our lives. Started going back over my life and saying, now, Lord, from the Word of God, what is being revealed? What fruit of the gospel is being revealed in my life on a daily basis? Because I say I believed it. I say I'm holding to it. I'm trusting my eternity upon it. I thought if we'd allow the light of the Word of God, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You say, oh, but I've experienced this in the past. I'm not asking what you've experienced. Hey, listen, I had enough of that yesterday. The men had enough of that in the past couple days, walking in and out of prison with their experiences down there. They've had this experience and that experience and on and on. There were very few that took me back to the Scriptures and said, here's where it's at. Here's my foundation. Here's my belief. You know what I got up and preached yesterday? And I preached it here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 last night, almost 24 hours ago now. I got up and preached 1 Corinthians 15 on the simplicity of the gospel having its foundation in the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. And I said, Lord, I know He'll allow us to if we'll just do it. But I just wonder if we're not as faithful in the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God, because that heart is such a dark place spiritually. But on the outside, we look like we're full of light. But on the inside, that heart, boy, it's just dark. Just dark. I don't know if the Lord could find His way around. I know the Holy Spirit can. I understand. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You do well if you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's only one reason that this book can shine into the deepest, darkest areas of our heart. And it's because it wasn't written by man, but it was given by God. And so what area do we hold on to that's just kind of in the shadows? And we're saying, that's the dark place in my heart that I don't want anybody to see. That's why I keep it dark. Lord, reaffirm this in my heart. There was a man that got up, and the men can testify to it. He got up publicly to say something in the middle of service before the preaching on yesterday morning. And he said, brethren, he said, I want to ask you to pray for me on something. And he said, I got a phone call from my wife last night, and she was going through some health issues with her back and things like this. And he said, in the midst of the conversation, he said, I'm just automatically thinking, I just want to move on past this. I want to get off the phone call. I don't want to be talking about this. I don't know how we're going to pay for this. I've got money saved up in the bank, and here you're having this issue, and it's going to empty my bank account. And he said, honestly, I wasn't being compassionate to my wife on the phone. And he said, I got off the phone. He said, the Holy Spirit of God started speaking to my heart. And he said, I redialed that phone. And he said, I got my wife on the phone. And he said, I started apologizing to her and said, honey, I need you to forgive me. He said, I wasn't very patient. I wasn't compassionate. I wasn't loving towards you. And I thought, you know, I'm not saying we need to stand up and do that inside of church. If God leads to do that, confessing our faults one to another, he doesn't say to do it publicly in front of the whole congregation, but it was a blessing. He got up and he said, man, he said, I just want to ask. And honestly, what the preacher was getting ready to preach, he got up right after him and he said, I want you to know you just preached my introduction. And he said that cut about 10 or 15 minutes off, and what he went and preached was right in line with the testimony and the confession that was just being given. And what he was doing is, he said, the word of God, he said, started speaking to my heart, and all I could picture is that spotlight going down and saying, hey, take care of that right there. Now, there's some young people from a child. You've known the Holy Scriptures. You've known it. The fault doesn't come back on parents for not teaching it. I'm thankful that we have a group of godly parents that, I'm not saying they're perfect, but they've done their human best, filled with the Spirit of God, to be able to teach the Scriptures unto the next generation. But there are some dark places in some hearts. Some dark places. You say, whose fault is that? It's theirs. I know they always try to come back to the parent. How many here ever had a child make a wrong decision? I'll put both. How many ever here had parents that had children make the wrong decisions? Every one of us have, okay? We live in a society, we blame everybody else. But can I say this? If you just hold on and continue in those things that you've heard and that you've learned, and allow the Word of God to be able to be that spotlight that says that right there. And then don't try to hide it. And then just get it right with God. And listen, you know what we do in the house? I hope that we do this, at least when company's coming over. We clean every nook and cranny, don't we? I mean, sometimes we're begging them not to turn the lights on because it might show the dust that's in there. But when all the lights get turned on, we're saying, man, look how filthy this place is. And we go to cleaning. I thought, Lord, if you'd allow us to, why don't we spend more time in this book? there's some that God's already taken the word of God and he's shining a spotlight right down in there saying, you know, that's not right right there. And you know what God's good at? Whether the preacher intends to or not, whether the Baptist bread intends to write those devotionals on it, isn't it amazing that God will take a verse that we would say has nothing to do with it, and God just redirects that spotlight right back to that same thing. So I didn't think that verse had anything to do with that. And God just keeps bringing it back. We keep pushing the light away, keeps bringing back in. I'm so thankful the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will discern. It will discern. And may I say this? It'll not just discern in your heart, but I believe it will discern on those that are around you too. That the word of God will be able to say, that's just not right. That's just not right. It's not Bible. Let the spotlight of the word of God help us. That's the light, walk ye in it. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll go into prayer meeting. Father, we sure do love you. I thank you for the scriptures. Lord, there's no other book upon the face of the earth that can make such a difference in our lives besides the Holy Scriptures. And Lord, if we just have some young people, Lord, that would just remember and continue in the things that they have been taught and learned, Lord, they would live a clean and pure life before you, because the spotlight of the Bible would reveal those things. But Lord, I don't want to forget us adults. Lord, some of us have had it in our lives for decades. And Lord, sometimes we just get used to the light. But Lord, I'd pray would be as David and would ask you to search us and know our hearts and to be able to see if there's any wicked way in us. And Lord, that we'd allow the scriptures afresh and anew on a daily basis to be able to shine into our hearts. Lord, I sure do love you. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful, wonderful book to be able to live by. Would you speak to our hearts tonight and reveal that area that may just be the dark area of our hearts? And we'd just do well to take heed to the scriptures. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.